Hare Krishna, this is day 7 of Nectar of Instruction course in Bhakti Shastri by His Holiness Bhakti Vrayat Bhagavad Swami Maharaj on 13th of November 2013. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Nana Shastra Vidhara Naika Nipuno Sandharma Sanchapako Lokana Nitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Saranjakaro Radha Krishna Padara Vindra Vajana Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Shri Jiva Gopalako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Shri Jiva Gopalako.
Someone can read the translation.
I offer my respectful obeisances under the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the different with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna.
Shri Sad Goswami Astaka Ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Manavisham Stapita Nirna Bhutale Svayam Rupa Tadamayam Adati Svaranantikam.
When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet?
Okay, this is one thing. I didn't hear the announcement this morning for Pushpanjali.
Yeah, they said in Bengali.
Only in Bengali. What time is the Pushpanjali? That's the Arati time. So what should we do? I wanted to cover two teams today and two texts so that you can be more relieved on Friday. Or we'll just cover one text today, text number 6, and then you go for Pushpanjali and we'll continue on Friday again, if we can. Or we can possibly do the text number 8 to 11 on tomorrow. You decide. I will go with the flow. What time is Pushpanjali? Earlier. What time is the Pushpanjali? Is along with the Aarti, I believe. The Aarti is at 12 or 12:30. We don't know.
12:45.
Can you be a little loud? I can't hear.
Pushpanjali is done in 15 minutes. 11:45.
So they do it before the arti. Say this again. And what time is lunch today? Because they fast at the moment. Same time? 1:30, quarter to 2. Okay. It's nice to go to the Pushpanjali if we can. Do you think that we can go to the Pushpanjali and then come back here, or? So in other words, we're taking 45 minutes, right? You decide. I'm easy because we have Friday still. Okay. How many of you in favor of this suggestion that we go for Pushpanjali at 11:45, and then resume here back at 12:30? How many of you in favor of that? Okay, almost everyone. All right. If you're not in favor of it, what you would like to do? Do not come back. We can cover both verses today if we come back at 12:30. Okay, so we have to move a little swiftly then. Yes? It can end at 1:45 for the because your lunch is going to be served the same time. Even normally when they go for noonday fasting, they normally serve for the brahmacharis in the temple around 1:00 to 1:30. Their prasad was normally at 2, but because they're fasting, they get it a half an hour early. So our prasadam comes at 1:45, I believe, right?
And that,
it comes at 1:30. Okay. So that means we're going to have just 2 1-hour sessions almost, from now till almost an hour now, or just over an hour. So it's 10:45, 11:45. You're coming back at 12:30, and then there's another hour. So let's see how we're doing. We want to cover the verses nicely, but let's see how we're doing. So it's all right. So everyone, and you know, we have. You remember number 8? We will cooperate fully even at the expense of individual interests for the higher purpose of purification, resulting in spiritual development. So we need some cooperation here, that everyone's on the same page. So we're going to go for Pushpanjali at 11:45 and resume here at 12:30. So that means we will leave around 11:40 or so, 1 hour from now, and you should leave the temple room at 12:25, not 12:30. You have to be seated here at 12:30. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's move ahead. So somebody can recap. If you're volunteering, you can recap something about text number 5 yesterday. It's one of the more important texts we discussed elaborately. Text number 5. Anybody like to recap? Especially this, we put in one shot, 3 types of neophytes. Anyone likes to recap some important points? Or I can ask you a question. I mentioned yesterday that this Pravita Bhakta, if he offers obeisances to a Harinam Bhakta and that Harinam Bhakta doesn't offer obeisances back in return, what's the result? Fall down. No.
They don't have a relationship.
Yes, if they don't have a relationship, what should the Harinam Bhakta do? Should offer all four obeisances, because there'll be some confusion otherwise. Because this Prakita Bhakta may come at offense and the Harinam Bhakta may accept offense. And the Prakita Bhakta may say, oh, you think you're very advanced, so you're not offering obeisances back to me. And so there must be faith and relationship in terms of Shiksha. Then it's more clear in that sense. And like I mentioned, like when we were living in temples, or still living in temples, it's easier because you know this is a senior devotee. And he is the authority, so even if he doesn't offer obeisances back, oh, he's my senior. You know, there's constant faith and relationship and attachment and association of devotees in an ashram. Okay? Anyone else likes to contribute some points about this discussion yesterday? For Dimitri, you had some questions about recognizing an advanced devotee and taking shelter of yesterday, remember? So it'll be more clear. I was waiting for today for text number 6, so it becomes more clear for today how to recognize or how not to make a mistake in recognizing also. All right, so, yes.
It's just the point that about serving the Guru and Krishna, serving the Vaishnava.
Not exactly above, yes. I stress the point that if you serve the Supreme Lord and if you serve the Guru but you don't serve the Vaishnavas, then the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master will not be pleased. I mentioned that in that sense. So it's important to serve the Vaishnavas. But if there's opportunity to serve the initiating Guru or Shiksha Guru and the Supreme Lord, one should take advantage of that also. Yeah. So on that basis of the service to Vaishnavas, we make progress to Madhyamadhikari. So it's not that one is putting on a show to serve the Vaishnavas and then everyone says, see, he's a Madhyamadhikari. No, one is genuinely serving the Vaishnavas from the heart. In that sense. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate.
We're on page 59 in your textbooks, text number 6. Drishvai svabhava janitair vapusas chadosai.
Drishvai svabhava janitair vapusas chadosai.
Na prakritatvam iha bhakti. Tajanasya pasyet. Gangam basam nakalu buddhapena pankai.
Gangam basam nakalu buddhapena pankai.
Brahma dravat mam apagacchati niradharmai.
Brahma dravatmam apagacchati niradharmai.
So someone can read the translation. Some words at a time will repeat after you. Volunteer. Anyone?
Yeah. being situated in his original Krishna conscious position.
Being situated in his original Krishna conscious position.
A pure devotee does not identify with the body.
A pure devotee does not identify with the body.
Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view.
Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view.
Indeed, one should overlook a devotee having a body.
Indeed, one should overlook a devotee having a body.
One
in a low family.
A body with a bad complexion.
A deformed body.
According to ordinary vision, such imperfections may seem prominent in the body of a pure devotee. But despite such seeming defects,
the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. It is exactly like the waters
of the Ganges.
Sometimes during the rainy season,
are full of bubbles,
foam and mud.
The Ganges waters
do not become polluted.
Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding, without considering the condition of the water.
Okay. On page 60, in the first paragraph, it speaks about Sudha Bhakti. That means engaged in transcendental loving service on the highest platform. In the next paragraph it says avyabhicharini bhakti means unalloyed devotion. A person engaged in devotional service must be freed from material motives. In other words, the devotional service itself will purify you in the beginning stages to become free from material motives. In this Krishna consciousness movement, one's consciousness must be changed. If consciousness is aimed towards material enjoyment, it is material consciousness. And if it is aimed towards serving Krishna, it is Krishna consciousness. So effectively, Prabhupada is saying, in other words, one should not come to Krishna consciousness for sense gratification. One should become free from the desire of sense gratification in the process of executing Krishna consciousness. So that motive should be out in that sense. Okay. Then on page 61, four lines down, Krishna's devotee is not subjected to material condition. You with me? Krishna's devotee is not subjected to material condition, even though his bodily features may appear materially conditioned. One should therefore not see a pure devotee from a materialistic point of view, unless one is actually a devotee. Again, Prabhupada uses the word actually. Unless one is actually a devotee, he cannot see another a devotee perfectly. And then we discuss Kanishtha, Madhyam and Uttama. Prabhupada is again mentioning it here in the purport in text number 5 elaborately. Okay. Then on page number 62, even though a pure devotee may not be born in a Brahmin or Goswami family, if he is engaged in the service of the Lord, he should not be neglected. And then Prabhupada discusses on page 63 about the mad elephant offense, which is going to be done to us who demonstrated more by the team, right? Who's the team? We're discussing mad elephant offense, right? Okay, so we'll come back to you shortly. On page 64, I'm just taking certain excerpts here. On page 64, three lines down. One is forbidden to observe the activities of a pure Vaishnava from a material point of view. For the neophyte especially, considering a pure devotee from a material point of view is very injurious. In other words, if one is beginning in Krishna consciousness, one is coming with material desires from the material world. So maybe one is assessing somebody whether he is a pure devotee or not from that consciousness, which is not very advantageous, because one oneself is not sufficiently purified to recognize properly, and one will see through one's own lenses of one's own material desire that one is coming with into Krishna consciousness. So therefore Prabhupada is saying here that a neophyte especially, considering a pure devotee from a material point of view, is very injurious to one's own spiritual advancement. So one should be cautious. So therefore I mentioned yesterday that the first impression is a lasting impression according to the materialist. But one should not apply that in the association of devotees, yes. Then in the next paragraph, those who think that Krishna consciousness is limited to a certain section of people, a certain section of devotees, or a certain tract of land, are generally prone to see the external features of a devotee, like that. And then Prabhupada discusses something about these God brothers in the Gaudiya Math in the same paragraph and in the last paragraph. Srila Prabhupada was criticized in various ways in relation to the last two paragraphs. Srila Prabhupada was criticized by saintly persons in India for having crossed the ocean. Having crossed the ocean. In other words, sometimes they have an understanding in India that sannyasis are not meant to cross the ocean and go to the lands of the Malechas and Yavanas. He crossed the ocean. He's not supposed to. Had he not done that, where would we be? Who would all of us be? And had he not done that, where would even those in India who have become devotees be? Say it like that. He was also criticized for having young women in ashrams as the Brahmacharini ashram. He was also criticized for that because that's not there in India. There's no Brahmacharini ashrams. You don't keep women in ashrams in India. So he was criticized for that. And Srila Prabhupada didn't know that he's going to have young women as brahmacharinis in ashrams. He didn't know that when he was going to the West. He didn't plan like that. So one disciple was Mother Rukmini. She joined very early, when she was 15 or 16 probably. And she's the wife of one of the GBC members named Anuttama Prabhu. So she was relating how the Brahmacharini ashram began. In the early days, especially in New York City, school girls in school uniform used to come and see Srila Prabhupada. And school girls were like 13, 14, 15 years old, teenage girls. So one such girl came to Srila Prabhupada like that. And she said, Swamiji, I want to live with you. Very innocent. Very innocent, you know. I want to learn. This is like a teenage girl. I want to live with you. So Srila Prabhupada asked the question, where is your mother and father? Because that's in India, everyone has a mother and father, there's no question, you know, in that sense like that. Or even they have uncles and aunts, extended family system, grandfather, grandmother. So Prabhupada is coming from that background. You know. She says, where is your mother and father? So the girl, she looked at Prabhupada in a puzzled way. You know, in a puzzled way, why are you asking me such a question? Like that. And then Prabhupada could immediately understand, being that, you know, that type of personality. He said, okay, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I will be your mother and father. Because, you know, girls go to school, boarding school, they don't know where the mother is, they don't know who the father is, probably. You know, like that. So Prabhupada could understand. Okay, you don't know where your mother and father is, fine. Okay, I will be your mother and father. And that's how we started the Brahmacharini Ashram. You know, in that sense, like that. Okay, and then Prabhupada was criticized for accepting the title Prabhupada. He was criticized for accepting the title Prabhupada. In other words, without inquiring why you accepted the title Prabhupada, he just criticized. Without inquiring why you accept young girls in ashrams, he was criticized. They didn't inquire at all, just criticized. Like that, see. And Prabhupada was criticized for making Westerners into Brahmanas. The Brahman caste in India was, what is this, you know, caste system. How can you make Malachas and Yavanas into Brahmanas, giving them the sacred thread, or giving them Gayatri Mantra, like that. And then Srila Prabhupada, when he heard these criticisms, when he came to Mayapur, like that. And he said, for all the criticism, what are they doing? They are doing nothing for the mission of Lord Chaitanya. They are doing nothing. So he gave hope to his disciples that I have spread Krishna consciousness, you have come forward, and this is the result of doing something from following the instructions of my spiritual master and for the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Like that. Okay. We'll take that presentation now, and then we'll go further into some discussions with slides about offenses. One has to be careful not to offend, especially a pure devotee. Come. Michael, just give them the microphone, maybe some of them should be loaded. See if it works. Mayapur.
Within half an hour. Not half an hour.
You going to use the slides now?
Yes, it's better.
Okay. Let's do that. You know what to do?
Yes.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Okay.
You starting with the slides first or?
Parallel.
Okay, go ahead. You can start in the meantime to read if you want.
Yeah, you can read.
I didn't see the slides before, so I don't know.
You don't know what's going on.
Because I was in the last 3 days. So
he was sick, right?
Yeah.
It's in there, right?
No.
What do you think?
That's not detecting.
No. Have you found it?
Yeah.
Okay. So go to slideshow. So this is off, that's on. That's forward. Okay? Off, on, forward, back. Go ahead. Use the microphone. Okay, come on, Tom. You know how to put it off? If you need to put it off. Go ahead.
So, me and my group, group number 6, we're going to have this one a drum for you. But the last day I felt sick, so we didn't really get the chance to practice, at least not with me. So, as I was sick, I prepared something myself to present. And I did some research about the mass elephant offense and where it was mentioned in the scriptures and what Prabhupada said about it. So the mass elephant offense is mentioned 13 times in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5 times in Chaitanya and Chaitamrita, and 3 times in other books, which is mainly the Srimad Lord Chaitanya. So I will quote a few things that Prabhupada mentioned in scripture. First of all, he speaks about Vaishnava Aparada, which is the relationship with mad elephant. Prabhupada says in Srimad Bhagavatam introduction, the Lord taught the Goswami about devotional service, comparing it to a creeper, and advised them to protect the bhakti creeper most carefully against the mad elephant offense, against pure devotees. In addition, the creeper has to be protected from the desires of sense enjoyment, monistic liberation, and perfection of the Hatha Yoga system. They are all detrimental on the path of devotional service. Similarly, violence against living beings and desire for worldly gain, worldly reception, and worldly fame are all detrimental to the progress of bhakti or Bhagavad Dharma.
Can you go back to that?
Yeah.
What you read. So he's made some few points. One is that the mad elephant offense can be a few things. One is, you remember what he said?
towards
pure devotees, and what else you have to be careful for?
From the desires of sense enjoyment.
Sense enjoyment.
Monastic liberation.
Monastic, that means in a Mayavad.
And the perfection of the Hatha Yoga system.
Yes, mystic yoga, mystic system. Good. Go ahead.
So these are all detrimental on the path of devotional service. He says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, he says there are many dangerous things, thunderbolts, fire, Yamaraja's punishment, the punishment of Lord Shiva's trident, and so forth, but none is considered as serious as offending a Brahmana like Jada Bharata. Therefore Maharaj Rahul Gang immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat before the lotus feet of the Brahmana Jada Bharata just to be excused.
Okay.
So we can see that I think it's all natural for us to make mistakes and to make offenses from time to time, but we should immediately surrender and offer obeisances to the Lord and excuse ourselves for what we did.
Mm-hmm.
In this way we can actually be forgiven for the offense.
While you're speaking, I'm just adding a few things so we can get time in. Prabhupada also said that an offense committed in ignorance may be excused, irrespective of who it is to. You know, even a pure devotee, you don't know. You don't know it's an offense. Committed in ignorance may be excused. But an offense committed in knowledge cannot be excused. So if you commit an offense in ignorance, it may be excused, but if you come to know that you have committed an offense, then there is knowledge, then you should beg for forgiveness. And sometimes we do commit offenses in ignorance, in the innocence of ignorance, we could say. You know, we're not, it's like you're committing an offense, but at the same time you don't want to offend, but it happens. You admit? But you don't want to offend, but you commit it in ignorance. You don't know you're doing it. So that may be excused. Go ahead.
Then in Madhya Lila, Canto 19, he says, by contacting non-devotees and engaging in non-devotional activities, the so-called mature devotee will fall victim to the mad elephant's offense. Whatever growth has taken place is quickly uprooted by such an offense.
So in other words, the mad elephant offense can rise in the consciousness in association with?
Non-devotees.
With non-devotees. So from non-devotees you can get the idea that the devotees are not nice. So it can give rise to that also. It's a cause. He's giving this excerpt. It's a cause for mad elephant offense. If you are prone or inclined to be comfortable with non-devotees, taking the association in an intimate way. Go ahead.
He says, the human being is a very social animal. That means that if one gives up the society of pure devotees, he must associate with non-devotees, which are asat sangha. By contacting these non-devotees and engaging in non-devotional activities, which is the natural consequence, a so-called mature devotee will fall victim to the mad elephant offense.
Yeah. Good. Go ahead.
In the Antya Purport, he says, Krishna, however, cannot tolerate any insults or blasphemy against the Vaishnava. For example, Prahlad Maharaj was chastised by his father, Niranjanakashipu, in so many ways, but although Prahlad tolerated this, Krishna did not. The Lord, therefore, came in the form of Nrisingadev to kill Niranjanakashipu. Similarly, although Srila Haridas Thakur tolerated the insult by Gopal Chakravarti, Krishna did not. The Lord immediately punished Gopal Chakravarti by making him suffer from leprosy.
Uh-huh.
While instructing Srila Rupa Goswami about the many restrictive rules and regulations for Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very vividly described the effects of offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Yadi Vaishnava aparada ute hati madama. Offending or blaspheming a Vaishnava has been described as the greatest offense, and it has been compared to a mad elephant. When a mad elephant enters a garden, it ruins all the creepers, flowers and trees. Similarly, if the devotee properly executes his devotional service, not properly executes his devotional service and becomes an offender at the lotus feet, then he will become an offender at the lotus feet of his spiritual master or another Vaishnava. As so, his devotional service is spoiled.
Yes. It's important, this last point, that you can lead to the Hatimata offense, the mad elephant offense, if you are not careful in executing your devotional service. If you're not careful, if you're neglectful. Especially on sadhana. Like that. We've seen that if you don't perform sadhana well, then you're prone. You're prone towards a materialistic association. And you become weak spiritually and you have difficulty in even chanting rounds. Like that. So that's another cause. You know, neglecting to follow one's sadhana bhakti well.
Then to conclude, in one lecture, Srimad Bhagavatam lecture of the 7th canto, Prabhupada says, Vishnu aparadha can be excused. God is very kind, but he never excuses Vaishnava aparadha. That is his vow.
Yes. This is wonderful. You know, he is our youngest member in the family here, right? Tom. And he did such wonderful research on him. And he has it all there. If you need the research, he can give it to you on a power, on a pen drive, right? Yeah, he has got everything done. So let's chant for him. He did a wonderful research for us.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So today we are going to present a pastime from Chaitanya Leela. So this has happened between Pundarika Vidyaniti and Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit is offending my mandali, so that we are going to enact here. And we need some volunteers who can help us in the kit as well. So time to time we can ask for it. And basically, this information is about Pundarika Vidyaniti, and he is none other than, in Krishna Leela, he is the father of Srimati Radharani. And here he comes as Pundarika Vidyaniti in Chaitanya Leela. And Gaurama Mahaprabhu himself is saying that simply by hearing his name, the whole world becomes purified. So he is very exalted devotee, but he is not showing it outside. So, initially Pundarika Vidyaniti is coming to Navadvip Dham, where nobody knows about him, about his exalted position or something, and only Mukunda knows about him, knows his exalted devotion, all these things. So,
you want to keep the slide on, or you want to keep it on? That's part of it. Facing your back to the audience, you start. Be loud.
Now I am showing an exalted Vaishnava. Let us go together and see. Okay.
Face the audience, don't right? Your back. facing your back towards the audience, please stand.
The great wise one.
Now, Pundarik Vidyanidhi has all reclining on the opulent brass bed covered with the red satin, but suppose we should present something, but we could not. And we are just reading the thing. And silk pillows topped with three tire canopy, a gem studded fan box topped with fragrant species and bitterness, waiter with arms reached, two shiny brass kitten stood as silent sentries beside the bed. Seeing the mirror stained red from his chewing palm, Pundarik allowed heartily. Two servants schooled him with pick up hands. So, like this. What a kind of Vaishnava is. This mental voice, what a kind of Vaishnava is. I didn't see any kind of Vaishnava quality in him. Is it not any kind of spiritual status? How it would be? Mumuntara is taking a moment of understanding that he is an exalted devotee. How it would be? I should reveal today. I must show the real identity of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. But Galadhar Pan is in misunderstanding. Tenth kind of opposite. Oh, how Krishna is so merciful. Even Pundarik came to kill baby Krishna, but Krishna delivered Putana and given the opportunity in Goloka Vrindavan and mother. How Krishna is merciful. By seeing this Pundarik Vidyanidhi was unconscious and he was holding his arm and he was crying. Even 5 or 6 I am the Tantra. He is that man that is saying he is walking. No one could. He was felt unconscious. After this hearing the Bhagavatam, Pundarik Vidyanidhi is getting spiritually enhanced and he is showing all the symptoms like maddening, and he finally goes into unconscious, and he was unconscious for around 6 hours it seems. So Galadhar Pani is realizing the offense.
Mukunda Prabhu, I committed a very great Vaishnava offense today in my mind. So I am thinking to surrender to Pundarik Vidyanidhi and get initiated from him.
Yeah, very nice. Your line is everything. Yeah, I think it is. You can go and approach him and you can take Chandra.
So here the remedy of the offense, how we can do the remedy immediately so that we can energize ourselves from not offending him again.
Hare Krishna.
one of the glories of this pattern from Chaitanya Bhagavata, who recites or hears the following narration of the meaning of Pundarika Vidyanathi and Sri Kadavar Pandit will receive the treasure of love. And there are some instances which Tom Prabhu has given him. So this is taken from the same.
Use the microphone.
We have taken from this purport, and here Narasimhadev has not tolerated the offense against his devotee, and he comes for his devotee. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing to Rupa Goswami. This is also Prabhu has given some light, and this is total segment. Vaishnava Prad, Hathi Mata, you are doing everything. He has compared Vaishnava Prad as a mad elephant. He has very nicely metaphorically explained this. Just like you have a nice garden, very good garden, you are watering and you are giving protection, giving manure, everything. But if in that garden a mad elephant enters, then it will destroy everything and all your labor will go to hell immediately. It will destroy everything. Similarly, you may do anything very nicely. But if you commit offense at the feet of a pure Vaishnava, then all your assets will be immediately vanquished. Vaishnava Prad, because Krishna is very angry.
So this
we quote from our sixth verse purport, where Prabhupada is giving two things. It is on 63 page number, and this one is on 65. This is the last part of the purport, where Prabhupada shares about this mad elephant offense and how we should protect ourselves from. And this is something from Jaiva Dharma. We are not realizing of great personalities. For various reasons, common people do not easily develop faith in exalted personalities who are still living, whereas they tend to develop great faith in activities of Mahajanas who have passed away. So,
okay. Thank you very much. Change the slide. Go back to my slide. On current slide, on top. Okay. All right, that is nice research, and I have a question for you. Is this pastime with Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Gadadhar Pandit and Mukunda, is it tantamount to mad elephant offense? No, yeah. So it's not a mad elephant offense, because you know he was judging by externals, but then after that he surrendered and he even got initiated by Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So we were discussing mad elephant offense, but it's fine. It still gives the idea of the verse itself. One should not judge a pure devotee by externals. It gives the verse itself. But it's not really in the category of mad elephant offense. But still it supports the actual verse, text number 6. Do not judge somebody from an external point of view. Just that will clarify that a little bit. Thank you. Okay, we did this in the Namamrita program and I included the slide here that the conclusion is that if Krishna consciousness is covered by material sins, one can eliminate the sin simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In other words, if you break one of the four regulative principles, some material desires. But he says, but if one pollutes his Krishna consciousness by offending a Brahmana or Vaishnava, one cannot revive it until one properly atones for the sin by pleasing the offended Vaishnava or Brahmana. This was the cause that Durvasa Muni had to follow, for he surrendered unto Maharaj Ambarish. A Vaishnava aparat cannot be atoned by any means other than the begging the pardon of the offended Vaishnava. In other words, that's the process. sometimes when we offend somebody and we don't want to beg forgiveness, we may take shelter of chanting Hare Krishna, thinking that the reaction to the offense will be nullified, will be gone. Chanting more will help you to actually move towards begging for forgiveness, so that's fine. If you're chanting to purify yourself to get the potency to beg for forgiveness, that's fine. But eventually one must beg forgiveness. It cannot be nullified otherwise, even by chanting extra rounds and so forth. So one should do that. Then this text number 6, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. There's some remedies from Harinam Chintamani. We fall at the devotees' feet and beg for forgiveness and sincerely repent. In the Namamrita program we did a more elaborate exercise where if you do not have the potency and strength to beg for forgiveness, you have to have a support system in various ways. We did that. And most of you have attended that. So if you haven't come to that point, then you find out from the other devotees who have attended. Then B, if the devotee is not appeased by our apologies, we should serve him for many days according to his desires. And C, if the offense is so great that the devotee's anger does not die, one should take full and constant shelter of the chanting of the holy name. Srila Bhishmana Chakravarti Thakur says that in time the divine power of the holy name will free the person from his offense. However, he wants that one should not take advantage of this to avoid begging for forgiveness and serving the devotee. Still one has to beg for forgiveness in that sense. So this type of mentality implicates further, one in further offense if you don't beg for forgiveness. From the Harinam Chintamani. Okay? And then to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. It does happen, and it does happen even in ISKCON, where the initiated disciples may criticize their own spiritual master. It does happen like that. Or they may have valid reasons to find fault and then they go to higher authorities. That's a little different. But they may criticize unnecessarily. So the result of offending the spiritual master is that the mantra that one has received from the spiritual master loses its meaning and purpose. At the time of initiation, the spiritual master invests the holy name into the mantra. But if one offends the spiritual master, the mantra becomes useless. Subsequently, one falls into sinful company and adopts unauthorized scriptures. But we are not talking about a situation where the spiritual master himself has become weak. That's a little different, right? Yeah, we're talking about where the spiritual master is in good standing spiritually and one finds fault. Remedies: cast away the bad association and bogus scriptures, throw oneself at the lotus feet of one's spiritual master and repent piteously. That's the way to do it. Okay, and then in conclusion to this, it's a wonderful except from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees who come to this world are executing a mission, and therefore sometimes they act in a way that is very difficult to understand. It is said, therefore, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vignaya Na Bhujaya. Even if one is a very learned and intelligent scholar, he cannot understand the activities of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava accepts anything favorable for executing his mission. But foolish persons, not knowing the purpose of such exalted Vaishnavas, indulge in criticizing them. That is forbidden, since no one can understand what a Vaishnava does for the purpose of executing his mission. To criticize such a Vaishnava is the offense called sadhunindha. So in conclusion to this particular text, we thought we'll do that. Okay, we'll leave some time for questions and comments. We have about 10 minutes before we go for Let's take you first. Go ahead. Where's the microphone? Here we are.
I noticed, maybe it's not true, but what I've noticed so far is that sometimes an offense may be quite a gray area, whether it's offense or not offense.
But we should give it the benefit of the doubt that it is an offense. That's better.
Okay.
I'm sort of aware of what you're saying, but you know, it's like this, you know, two devotees are discussing another devotee. And they may say to themselves, you know, we are well wishers, we are not offending, but we know he has this weakness, that weakness, that weakness, but you know, we are not offending. Like that. So somebody else may hear that. And they say, these people are offending. They're talking about the bad qualities of this person instead of helping the person. So sometimes we may be convinced we're doing it in the well-wishing mood, but it may turn out to be an offense. Go ahead.
So who decides whether it is offense or not offense?
You will know by the result of it. By the result. The result will be you're finding difficulty chanting your japa. The result will be you are inclined towards non-devotee association. The result will be that your material desires are attacking you more prominently. It's becoming more, why am I feeling like this? So these are the results of offending. So in order for that result to go away, one has to beg forgiveness. Like that. There's basically a few things like that. You know, one is your sadhana becomes weak and you do not have taste for chanting. You may reduce the number of rounds. Like that, your sadhana becomes weak, the chanting. Your material desires become more prominent and you're inclined towards material non-devotee association.
I've noticed also that it can also be easily mixed up with the mind games, the offenses, whether you feel this offense or not feel this
yes.
offense.
The magnanimity of being a devotee in sadhana bhakti in the Kali Yuga is that if you commit an offense mentally, you will not get a reaction for that. So that's where one should arrest it before it becomes verbal or physical. But it begins in the mind, nevertheless, before it becomes verbal or physical. So one should arrest it and become purified from the mentality before it becomes verbal or physical in its nature. So one doesn't get any reaction in the Kali Yuga.
No, what I more meant is that sometimes you may feel or think that, oh, I may have committed an offense and maybe what I said was not totally right.
That's nice.
Yeah, but and then you can't chant your round very properly and, you know, it's not very good. But then suddenly some devotee comes to you and says, oh, no, that was actually right what you did, you know, and, you know, or you read something that, oh, that actually, you know, supports it. And then your mind becomes, oh, okay, that was fine. So it gets totally peaceful and totally nice, and so, you know, you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, but the point is the seed of such a thing is in the consciousness where you can do something that's offensive and feel it's not offensive later. It can become a conditioning. You know, I can say something and then I can condone it by having some shastric support, or I can condone it by saying it's okay, it's not an offense, because other self-devotees are saying it's not an offense. But if you personally feel in the initial stages that it has been an offense, one should beg forgiveness and root it out from not becoming a conditioning in the consciousness. Right, so that has to be. That's why I said you give the benefit of the. You give the benefit of the doubt that possibly this has been an offense, and then beg forgiveness.
I'm just thinking of a situation of Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra. So
yes.
He was also doubting very, very much, and then if he wouldn't, you know, go into the other side of not doing the battle, not speaking to Krishna, then he would completely, you know, do the other way.
Yeah, doubts are like demons. They enter into the consciousness like demons. So when you're doubtful and you're not clearing your doubts, you can result to result in engaging in demoniac activities. Doubts are like demons. So one has to clear the doubts. That's what Arjuna did by surrendering to Krishna. Because that's not entirely in the category of Vaishnava aparad. That's in the category of falling into Maya.
Oh, but he was, you know, almost thinking that he's committing an offense to the whole dynasty, and
That's true.
So if you would go and then beg for forgiveness, oh, I'm sorry, dear Duryodhana, I may have, you know, offended you. Mm-hmm. Can I, you know, beg for forgiveness, things like that? That would not be very, you know.
Yeah. Proper. So therefore, Prabhupada said that Arjuna required guru. He required someone to situate him properly. So that's, Prabhupada sometimes says Krishna's first disciple was Arjuna in that sense. Is it all right for now?
For now.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. Somebody else? Two more hands up. Three more. Four more hands up. Okay, let's go. We need to go to the temple room soon.
Maharaj mentioned that one should therefore avoid observing a pure devotee externally, but should try to see the internal features and understand how he's engaged in the loving service. So my question is, Maharaj, how do I see those internal features as a neophyte? So I may not be mature enough to.
Yes, see. By inquiry. Yeah. If you're not sure about something, and you feel you're judging from the external features, then you inquire from that person. So once you inquire, then he starts speaking. And by his speaking, you'll know what his internal consciousness is like. And by speaking, when you develop some attachment that this is an exalted soul, then you begin to serve the person. So therefore it's important, tadvini pranipatina pariprasnena seva, to inquire and to serve. But it must be done without a challenging spirit, the Prabhupada says. Must be done submissively. Give the microphone here, it's closer. Yeah? Oh, it's already there, okay. Go ahead.
Maharaj, I have a generic question. We are in the movement for a quite long time, or maybe new to our movement. But even though after hearing and realizing a lot of things, as Prabhupada is telling in this verse, the purport, still the discrimination between the devotees is happening. How to resolve it, or maybe because of the because of not having a good relationship, how it happens and how it can be avoided. Still,
it's not so clear. In other words, what when you say discriminating, what do you mean? You don't like one devotee, you like another devotee, like that?
Yeah, it happens.
So we have mentioned that repeatedly, that if you don't like a devotee, what should you do?
We
should serve. Yes. And then sometimes one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that, you know, I don't like the devotees, what should I do? So Prabhupada said, give me one good reason why you don't like the devotees. So he thought and thought and thought, he couldn't come up with a reason. He said then, your dislike should be dovetailed towards the Mayavadis and atheists, not to the devotees. We don't like Mayavadis and we don't like atheists, and it's not easy to preach to them either. So the dislike should be dovetailed towards those who are inimical and against Krishna. So therefore, if you cannot take out the dislike for devotees, dovetail it towards that. Is that alright? Alright, we almost time to get to the temple. It'll take a few minutes to get there. So we should be back at 12:25 here in the room, even before the conch shell goes for the aarti. I guess you may be leaving your things here, right? Yeah. So if somebody can go to the office and tell them to lock this door, who can do that? Yeah, go to the office and tell them to lock this door and open it again at 25 plus. Because if you're leaving your things, it's better to be locked. There's a computer here and things like that. If you want to leave your stuff, go to the office and make sure this door gets locked before you come, even if you're a little late. Is that okay? Yeah. Thank you very much. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.